Hello everyone, let me start. Today's title is called Jealous for God Almighty. Jealous for God Almighty. And we're gonna, as you guys know, this is a part of a series now. We started 2 weeks ago. We're talking about Elijah, and I've explained why we're in Elijah. Jesus says, here's John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived. And he says later on that he's Elijah. Or you can say it came in the spirit of Elijah. But clearly, Jesus climbed higher than John the Baptist. Would you say that? Jesus climbed higher than John the Baptist. Yes? Yeah. Jesus says, you will do greater things than I have done. Jesus says to his disciples that you will do greater things than I have done. Because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask, as long as the Jesus brings glory to the Father, he will do it. It's a blank check. We talked about it. So we've been looking into Elijah or John the Baptist to be later on. Why this man was special. And first two sessions, we talked about we've been actually reading through. I won't summarize, but last week we talked about how Elijah is sent to this widow and in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, and then the widow doesn't run out of the flour or the oil, and later on her son dies, and for the first time in human history, Elijah is the first man ever lived that resurrects somebody from the dead. He's the first one recorded to have the faith and try. Right? You can have the faith, you didn't try, but he tries and actually resurrects this boy, the woman, the widow from Zarephath, her son, from the dead. So he's a man of faith, great faith. We're going to pick up the story around 18 today, 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to... So, again, I have to give a little bit more backdrop because there are some of you guys have not been around. So, this is around 870 to 850 BC, before Jesus. Israel, the northern tribes, have broken off from the southern tribes. Somebody named Jeroboam introduced calf worship and idol worship around 920 BC. Around 870 BC, Ahab marries a woman named Jezebel. And Jezebel is a non-Jew. And she comes down from Sidon and marries this king, Israeli king. And with her, she brings Baal worship and Asherah worship. Baal is the god of thunder, lightning, rain. It was widely worshipped in the area. And so that is the backdrop now. As we try to read through the story, we will see what will happen in the country and how Elijah plays his role. And I'm gonna also bring it up and connect it to us, how we need to be like Elijah. And again, the title of the message, Jealous for God Almighty. And the reason I titled it that, because you're gonna see that whatever Elijah is gonna do in this chapter is because he's jealous for God. You're gonna say, what does it mean to be jealous for God? How can a man be jealous for God? Have you ever thought to yourself? How could a man be jealous for God Almighty? Can you be? Are you a man that is jealous for God? We'll explore that today in our sermon. So, again, from the previous chapter, if you haven't read it, he went up to, in chapter 17, in verse 1, now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my words. So there has not been rain in the land for over 3 years now. So now, chapter 18, verse 1, I'm reading now. It says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. So there has been 3 years of famine so far, over 3 years, right? And now Elijah is sent to talk to Ahab because God says he's going to send rain. Verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah revered the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we might find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals. So I divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went in another direction by himself. So what's happening here? Ahab is sending Obadiah to one part of the country to see if there's any grass left so that their animals won't die. But it says that Obadiah, verse 3, revered the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So Jezebel didn't just bring Baal worship into the land. That wasn't the only thing she did. She also were trying to destroy Yahweh worship by killing its prophets. To the point that Obadiah is trying to hide some of them so that they won't be killed. So there was a deliberate attempt to introduce Baal worship into the land, idol worship. But on the other side, they were trying to extinguish all worship of Yahweh by killing its prophets. Verse 7, and as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him, and Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, is it you, my lord Elijah? He answered him, it is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, wherein have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there's no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they will say he is not here, he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. So in the absence of, so 3 years ago, 3 years earlier, Elijah told King Ahab there's going to be no rain or dew. Meanwhile, as he was absent by Brook Cherith, where the birds were bringing him food, the ravens were bringing him food, bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat at night. And also when he was outside of the country in northern part of the country, in Phoenicia, in Sidon, at Zarephath, at the widow's house. Meanwhile, Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord or anybody that was employed with service of God. And also, they were looking for Elijah. And they were sending messengers to see if they can find him because they knew why there was a famine, where there was a starvation. Verse 11, and now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. As soon as I've gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where. And so When I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, has revered the Lord from my youth, has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, troubler of Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house. I want you to pause a second there. Ahab sees Elijah. What does he say to him? Is it you, the troubler of Israel? When we sin and terrible things happen, is it somebody else's fault? Why was Ahab suffering? Why did they have no rain for three and a half years?
Because of the Baal worship.
Because they've turned away from Yahweh to a God that's supposed to provide rain, thunder, and lightning. And God just wanted to make a point, so there was no rain for three and a half years. It's so ironic, though, like the very first thing Ahab says, you trouble of Israel, as if Elijah is responsible for this calamity. When we sin, we bring it on ourselves, but he's unable to see. But Elijah brings it right back to him. He answered in verse 18, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commands of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So there's a famine in the land. People cannot even find food to eat. Jezebel has been killing the prophets of Yahweh, tried to extinguish the worship of Yahweh in the land. What are the prophets of Baal and Asherah are doing? They're eating at Jezebel's table. They're welcome, they're cherished, they're encouraged. Verse 20, so Ahab sent to all the sons of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Let's talk for one second. So, first of all, does God told him, go tell Ahab that there's going to be rain coming, right? And then the prophet Elijah goes to the king and says, bring all the Israelites and all the prophets of Baal and Asherah to this one mount. How long would it take for the king to bring all these people from all the lands that they're scattered?
Years.
It's going to take a little bit of time, right? He has to send messengers throughout the country and say, hey, please come to Mount Carmel. to the citizens, right? And also, he has to gather all the prophets, every one of them, wherever they're scattered throughout the country. So it takes some time to get them to this mount, right? Does Elijah know what's going to happen? God told him that the rain is coming, right? He told him, chapter 18, verse 1, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. But does Elijah know how it's going to happen? Does Elijah know what's coming? Does Elijah know what's going to happen at Mount Carmel? And how many people do you think showed up to this crowd? How many people from Israel do you think showed up? Thousands? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands? Verse 21. They gathered together, all the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long would you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. He's saying to the Israelites, I'm the only one left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it, and I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. You call on the name of your God, and I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the people answered, it is well spoken. So what's going on here? He tells the prophets of Baal, we're going to put two bulls up. We're going to sacrifice to God. You're going to sacrifice to Baal, and I'm going to sacrifice to my God. And your God is known to be a God of thunder and lightning. He should be able to send the lightning to this altar and receive the sacrifice. Verse 25, then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, verse 26. They took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. There was no voice, no one answered. They limped about the altar, which they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's musing, or he has gone aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep, must be awakened. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one heeded. So Elijah, standing between 450 men. Have you ever tried to imagine what it feels to stand among 450 men? I want you to look at me for a second. Imagine yourself standing among 10 people. Just think of 10 people that are surrounding you. Okay? Now think of 20 people surrounding you. Now imagine yourself surrounded by 50 people. Now you're surrounded by 100 people. Now you're surrounded by 200 people. Now you're surrounded by 450 people. Every one of those people can come and attack and kill you. You have the king and all Israel there. And he tells them, call on your God. Let's see what he can do. And from morning till afternoon, the prophets of Baal are crying out, O Baal, answer us. They limped about the altar which they had made. So from morning till noon, Elijah is silent, watching them and all of Israel. Around noon, Elijah starts to mock them. He says, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he is musing, he has gone aside, he's on a journey, he's asleep, and must be awakened. What kind of, think about this, what kind of person would be a prophet of Baal? So Jezebel is inviting Baal worship from Sidon, right? And there's a job posting. And Israelites have to apply. What kind of man would apply? It's one thing to be worshiper of Baal or an idol yourself. What if you're promoting a worship of Baal yourself? Now you're signing up to a job. Now you're promoting it. Now you're trying to advance this religion. What kind of man do you think you have to be to sign up for a job like this? So these people are not necessarily just innocently worshiping idols. There's no such thing as worshiping an idol, because God actually tells it in, actually I'll just quickly read it to you. The Israelites were warned by Moses in Exodus chapter 20. It's the second commandment. You don't have to go there. This is Exodus chapter 20. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to their third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. They were warned not to do it, but now they're signing up to promote this religion. Israelites, the children of Abraham.
That was verse 4 to what?
It was 4 through 6. So after noon, after he teases them, it says in verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And at midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one heeded. Nothing happening. They're crying out, they're gushing, they're cutting themselves, they're bleeding out, they're frantically dancing, making all kinds of noises. And what could Baal do for them? Verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, after nothing happens, Elijah says to the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Why has the altar of the Lord been thrown down? He's repairing it, right? Jezebel wanted to put an end to Yahweh worship. Not only was he killing the prophets, but he was destroying its altars, God's altars. Repair the altar of the Lord had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. With the stone he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on wood. He said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. What is Elijah doing? He repairs the altar, puts the wood, puts the bull on top of it, makes a trench around it, puts some seed in it, And he asked the people that are standing there to soak it in water. Why did he do that? Why did Elijah ask the people to soak the offering in water? What happens if you put lots of water onto wood?
It's like soft, right?
It's soft, but can it catch on fire?
No.
No. Verse 36, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. When they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Gishon and killed them there. So imagine what's happening on the mountain. 450 ministers or prophets or servants of Baal making all these noise and dancing and crying out and cutting themselves. And from the morning till almost late afternoon, nothing is happening. Elijah is mocking them. Then Elijah takes on, puts the offering, soaks it in water to the point that it's completely wet, and then cries out to God. And God answers him and burns up the whole thing to the point of like even the dust and the stones are on fire. And the people see it. The children of Israel that are watching it, they see who God is. And Elijah, look what Elijah says, verse 40. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them there. Can you imagine getting 450 prophets of Baal and taking them to the river, and Elijah putting the knife to them, one by one, after one, after one, after one? What was Elijah doing? What was God trying to show? In one day, in one hour, he destroys the whole Baal worship, the whole institution, all of its prophets. One will ask, why does he care? Have you ever thought? Why didn't Elijah just go to the south, the temple in Jerusalem? Have you ever thought he could have just said, you know what? These Israelites are just wicked people. They're idol worshipers. Let me just kind of mind my own business. I'll go to Jerusalem. I'll worship Yahweh myself. Why does Elijah care? What is he getting out of this?
Nothing is just more important for the people to be brought back to God.
Why is that important to him? They're wicked people. Let them suffer for it.
Is this tie into jealous? Yeah. Well, God. I mean, one of the commandments would be to love your neighbor.
Do you understand? He didn't have to do any of these things. He could have just minded his own business, just worship Yahweh, ignore the children of Israel, let them be as wicked as they want to be, let God punish them according to their deeds. Why bother myself being in the midst of 450 of these people? The Israelites are not friendly. Ahab and Jezebel, who wants to kill and have killed the prophets of Yahweh, why would he care? Well, we find the answer in chapter 19, verse 9. We're going to jump there quickly and then come back. Elijah is running after this event, which we'll come to it in a second. And there he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throwing down your altars, slaying your prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." God finds him, says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And what is Elijah saying to God? "I've been very jealous for you. I've been very jealous." I looked at the word jealous. Some of the translators use the word zealous.
Yeah, mine uses zealous.
Yeah, mine too.
The zealous and jealous comes from the Greek word zelo, which means bubbling. Imagine the water bubbling. They're the same word. They have the same root. So just bundle the two words together. You're jealous, therefore you're zealous. I know in English we make the distinction, but I'm just saying that in the root word, it was the... So Elijah says to God, "I am the only one left. They have destroyed your worship. And they're looking to kill me as well because all of the prophets are killed." And, but he's giving his reason why he's doing what he's doing. "I've been very jealous for the Lord, God Almighty, the God of hosts." When you ponder about that, how could one man, how can a man be jealous for God? He loves God so much that he sees his name profaned among people that he cannot rest. He cannot rest. And what is the call for us today? If we are the man of God, are we jealous for God's honor, his name? Or are we just forget about these people. They'll get what they deserve. What do I care? What do I care? I'll just worship Yahweh on my own nice little space. Why do I care? Let's go back to chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He bowed himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and he said to his servants, "Go up now, look toward the sea." He went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." He said, "Go again seven times." And at the seventh time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising out of the sea." He said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." In a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So as soon as the children of Israel, the northern tribes, starts worshiping Baal, God chooses Elijah to tell the king, "You're going to have no rain because you've chosen to worship an idol, and you thought that importing this God is going to bring you prosperity of rain. God is going to shut the heavens." When Elijah meets them, the prophets of Baal at the Mount Carmel, slaughters them, eradicates them, because they are worthless people. They're not only just worshiper of idols, but they're promoting a religion and benefiting in the process, eating at the Jezebel table when all the rest of the population is dying out of starvation. They're still encouraged and taken care of by Jezebel. And once God shows his power to the children of Israel, now he can have the rain come down again. They can resume now. I'm going to start concluding. Let's continue to read chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He rose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. Behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." He looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, and he touched him and said, "Arise and eat, else the journey will be great, too great for you." And he rose, ate and drank, walked in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There came a cave, and there he came to a cave.
We do.
Verse 9, "And there he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" I'll conclude the reading here, but let me just make a couple of comments in conclusion. So this awesome show of God's power on the Mount Carmel, rain comes down, Ahab goes home, Jezebel hears that Elijah has killed all the prophets of Baal. How long would it take for you to bring a religion into a country, hire prophets for it, train them, spread them throughout the country, and then in one day they're all slaughtered? So Jezebel is so upset. It says, you know, "Elijah, just like I kill all the prophets of God, Yahweh, I'm also going to kill you. By tomorrow, you're going to be like one of those people that you killed." And Elijah is afraid and he runs. He goes into southern Israel, away from the northern Israel, and he sits under a broom tree and he asks that he may die, saying, "It is enough, O Lord, take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers." Would you say he's deflated? Would you say he's discouraged? I was thinking about what does he mean, "I'm no better than my fathers"? His fathers have lived and died. They're in the ground. They're just dust. "God, what do you want from me? I'm nothing but dust. I'm no better than my fathers. What do you want from me? How much can I do myself? I am just deflated and discouraged." You remember, first time God sent a ravens to feed him by Brook Cherith. Later on, it was a widow who kept him alive in Zarephath. But do you see, this time, an angel of the Lord comes. Why? Why not another raven? Why not? Why an angel of the Lord? There are times we just need encouragement. And guess what? This is the time God himself with his angels are getting involved in lifting him up from the state of discouragement, from this place of him feeling, I'm just dust. I'm no better than my fathers. Take my life. I cannot bear these anymore. This is just, even though he had this great victory, but like, so what? And when he gets to where he needs to go, twice angel comes and feeds him, and God starts talking to him now. Couldn't God talk to him in Beersheba? God could have talked to him anywhere. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why is he even asking such a question? Doesn't God know everything? Hasn't he been seeing everything? Doesn't he know what took place? Wasn't he a part of it? Sometimes we just need a conversation. Sometimes we just need a conversation. And angels are sent to keep company with Elijah because he needs it. And sometimes we need it. This time God is coming up to him. And why is this? Why are all these things are happening? Because he was jealous. He was zealous for God. And my brothers, I'm gonna actually ask you to pursue this kind of heart. Be a jealous man of God. I'm gonna ask you to pray, God, how can I be jealous for you? How can I be in this world that have turned their back against you, where reading of the scriptures, obedience to Jesus is so dismissed, that philosophies and idol worship around the world has permeated every part of the world, and the ones that are professing Christians have diluted the Christianity to the point that there's no power in it anymore. No relationship with the Almighty Father now. How can we be like Elijah, a man of God? How can we, as few, stand? Because we care about him. We care. We care for him. Not for us, for him, for his honor. For his honor, that we won his honor. That we will go anywhere, we will do anything. And bear anything. A 100 years later, when God is looking for somebody to send to the southern kingdom, 100 years later, God says, who shall we send? You know who raises his hands? Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah sends his hand for the southern kingdom. 100 years later, who shall I send? Send me. Isaiah says, send me, chapter 5. Why? Why would he want to do that, knowing what happens to Elijah? We're not looking for a reward here. We're not looking for a praise here. We're looking for something greater, that we see the living God. We hear the living God. We have a relationship with our Father, and we want his name to be hallowed, honored as holy. And we will promote him. We'll promote him.